You're listening to high school playoff football on DG Sports.
Did you know there are several alternatives to having neck, back, or knee surgery to relieve pain and mobility issues? Racine Disc Center offers non-surgical spinal decompression, robotic laser therapy, and more. The results are amazing, even in patients who have already tried chiropractic, physical therapy, or injections. So before you check into the hospital, check into RacineDiscCenter.com or the clinic on Rapids Drive, just east of Gulf Avenue, for a free consultation. Racine Disc Center, where you go before you go under the knife.
Celebrate your special day with a custom cake from Main Street Bakery in downtown Racine. Whether it's an elegant tiered wedding cake or a playful personalized birthday treat, each creation is made to order, baked with love, and crafted from the freshest, finest ingredients. Let Main Street Bakery bring a touch of sweetness to your celebration. Call 262-770-4111 today. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Main Street Bakery, where every creation is crafted with care.
When the weather turns chilly, Ferraro's turns up the heat. This season of giving, get a little extra. Buy $100 in gift cards with cash, and Ferraro's will top it with a bonus $20 card. Don't miss November's cheesy ham and potato pizza with a beer cheese base, Canadian bacon, white potato, red onion, and topped with cheddar cheese. Plus, discover the tasty frozen pizzas, just right for carryout or your upcoming fundraiser, bridging the warmth and flavor Racine craves. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
It's game time. Hardy and Jensen is your MVP for home energy efficiency. Score big savings with triple pane windows and Energy Star rated doors, all qualifying for the energy efficient home improvement credit. Choose from steel or fiberglass entry doors and aluminum storm doors, perfect for blocking high energy bills. Don't let rising costs blitz your budget. Visit their showroom on Highway 20 and Racine for your estimate. With Hardy and Jensen, your house always wins.
Hardy and Jensen, that's where you go.
Sports Network is an integrated publishing company with a focus on these student athletes, their communities, families, friends, and coaches. Their website, wisports.net, is a terrific resource for everything high school sports. As a proud WSN media partner, we're happy to bring you this message from wisports.net manager, Travis Wilson.
A look at Level 2 football, plus the state cross-country meet is set for this weekend. I'm Travis Wilson, and this is a wisports.net minute brought to you by Just a Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. More high school sports news after this. You may have heard of Just a Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells, one of the country's premier destinations for youth sports and events, but did you know that Just a Game does so much more? Just a Game also delivers end-to-end apparel, equipment, and event solutions. With their state-of-the-art screen printing and embroidery facility, they can help with branding for your team and business items, including uniforms, apparel, and more. Just a Game also offers digital services that include a cashless digital platform and event live streaming. Just a Game has also added a second brand-new facility in Reedsburg. Find more information at justagame.com. It's starting to feel more like football weather, and the high school playoffs continue this weekend with Level 2 action around the state. There are a couple noteworthy rematches on the docket for this weekend. Nina makes the trip to Kimberly after the Rockets defeated the Papermakers in a thriller earlier this year, 29-28, on a last-second field goal from Jack Klunt, which gave Nina its first win over Kimberly since 2005. We can only hope the second matchup between La Crosse Logan and Onalaska is as good as the first, when Logan scored a 36-35 overtime victory, punctuated by a game-winning two-point conversion run from senior quarterback Bradley Chuck. A pair of defending state champions will meet up in Division 4, as last year's winner Lodi will travel to three-time defending Division 5 champion Aquinas, who was bumped up to D4 this season. The Quick Trip and Wisconsin Dairy Game of the Week is a clash of styles, as Milwaukee Academy of Science will make the lengthy trip across southern Wisconsin to tangle with Darlington. Boys and girls cross-country teams will take center stage this weekend at the Ridges Golf Course in Wisconsin Rapids for the WIAA State Cross-Country Championships to be run on Saturday. Onalaska's Manny Putz is looking for his third consecutive individual title in Division 1. This has been a Wisports.net Minute. Check us out online at Wisports.net and search your favorite podcast provider for the WSN podcast.
That was Travis Wilson with our Wisports.net Minute.
All right, thank you to Travis Wilson for a second time tonight with our WisSports.minute. And let's take a moment now to congratulate some of the players that are playing here tonight as they were voted onto the first and second teams of the All-SEC conference team. So first team from Racine Case were Leo Gepetta, Michael Farr, Lincoln Meyer, Korvac, Declan Nason, Terrell McCray, and I only have a last name here, Thomas, were first team players. And again, Gepetta was quarterback, Michael Farr wide receiver and defensive back, Meyer was wide receiver, Kavorik was offensive line, Nason was offensive line, McCray defensive line, and Thomas defensive line. And then second team was Misha at linebacker, Yacencio at linebacker, and Adam at defensive back. So congratulations to the Case Eagles as they put 10 athletes on first and second team, all SEC. Now from Coach Craig McCullen out at Union Grove, he states, "What a great year we had. A lot of ups and downs, but we stayed together and received a playoff berth. That makes five out of last 6 years we have made it in. We will continue to grow both mentally and physically in the offseason and come back stronger for 2025. The list below is our all-conference list for the 2024 season. With that, we have to give credit to all players that committed and stuck it out the entire year. It's because of your sacrifices we are able to do what we do. We are proud of all of our Union Grove football players. Thank you for another great year." So, first team wide receiver was Matthew Gruber. Second team, Quinn Schultz, quarterback. Quinton Martinez, running back. Ryan Josert, offensive line. Finn Morrison, utility. Tyler Van De Water, kicker. Quinn Kepnick, defensive line. And Griffin Schultz, defensive back. An honorable mention were Charlie Pettit, wide receiver, Austin Waddle, defensive line, and Tyler Van De Water, punter. So congratulations to those Union Grove Broncos for making first, second team, and honorable mention. So now we have an opportunity, Dylan. As I said, I was perfect tonight, and by that I meant the predictions I made, they're all losing. So in Division One, these are Travis Wilson's picks. We'll see how they come out after the games are over tonight, but he has Wanake beating Middleton. He's got Madison Memorial over D.C. Everest. He's got Marquette over DePier, and jump in at any time if you got scores on these games. Bayport over Sheboygan North. He's got Franklin over Muskego. You've already mentioned Muskego was winning 14-0.
Yeah, that one's 21-7 at halftime. You know, a lot of people are calling it upset alert. The one thing about Franklin, coming into the playoffs 9-0, but other than Case, they haven't really played tough competition all year. So this is their first true challenge of the year, and really puts a test against that number one seed.
All right, he's got Kimberly over Nina, Arrowhead over Verona, and he's got McGuanago over Racine Case. So we'll see how that plays out. Now in Division Two, he's got New Richmond over Holman. He's got Rice Lake over Monona Grove, Kakana over Beaver Dam, West DePier over Sun Prairie East. He's got Badger over Horlick, Milton over Elkhorn, Slinger over Wauwatosa East, and Homestead over Germantown. And something tells me that Badger-Horlick game isn't still 14-0.
No, it's 14-14. Badger scored with 1 second left in the half. Otherwise, it would have been 14-7 there at the break.
Wow, okay. So Horlick They scored those first two quick scores, but haven't done anything since then. We'll see if they can come out and what they can do. I mean, they've got a tough running back.
And one thing that we talked about them all year long, Dick, was they were able to hang with every game that we've seen from them. They struggled against Case, but they were still in it the whole first half.
All right. So in Division III, he's got Medford over Fox Valley Lutheran, La Crosse Logan over Onalaska, Grafton over Plymouth, Notre Dame over Port Washington. He's got Catholic Memorial versus Reedsburg. He said no selection because I'm sure our listeners don't know. Travis Wilson is an assistant coach for Reedsburg, so I'll make the prediction. Catholic Memorial will beat Reedsburg. He's got Mount Horeb Barneveld over Waterford. You said it was 14-0, Mount Horeb, so he's winning on that one. New Berlin West over Greendale and Wisconsin Lutheran over Martin Luther. And then finally, in the other division that we're interested in, he's got Freedom over Prescott, Ellsworth over Baldwin Woodfield, Winneconne over Xavier, Mayville over Berlin, Aquinas over Lodi, Columbus over West Salem, Racine St. Catharines over Delavan Darien. I don't think we've got an update on that one yet tonight. And Lake Mills over Evansville. I would think, again, upsets, as you said, do happen, but I would think St. Catharines can handle Delavan Darien tonight.
Yeah, I have not seen an update yet for that one, Dick.
So let's just see what happened. The winner of Franklin Muskego gets the winner of Nina and Kimberly, and that next level three game, more than likely, is going to be Kimberly will face either Franklin or Muskego. And as we've mentioned many times tonight, the winner of this game gets the winner of Verona and Arrowhead, Verona being the number one seed in this quadrant. And again, interestingly enough, if Case can come back and they win this game and Arrowhead beats Verona, that game would be at Hammes Field because Case is the 3 seed, Arrowhead is the 4 seed.
Dick, I do have a score update between St. Catharines and Delavan Darien. It was 42-0 at the half.
So
St. Cats, yeah.
Running clock coming there. So, again, St. Cats, again, in level two will not be – well, two things. Will not be tested, but we've heard all year because we have not had them. We have not had them at all this year that they are very loaded?
Yeah, top to bottom, they have a ton of talent all around that team, and they've just been able to put up points against anyone with ease. They haven't struggled once this year to really do anything, you could say.
And again, we'll see how things play out the rest of the night. We'll throw this out. DG Sports, as we have done in the past, we may venture out of familiar territory next week to host a game outside of the four conferences that we normally broadcast during the year. So, you know, stay tuned, read up on Facebook, we'll have it posted. And again, we have to wait to get approval that, you know, they can accommodate us at these games, Dylan. And you could talk more about that. I mean, we're in a very luxurious press box tonight, but there's a lot of places that can't even accommodate you, and they'll tell you, you know, sorry, we'd like to have you, but we have no place for you.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the size of pretty much any press box in the area that we cover, even outside the area that we cover. It'll have a divider here for the coaches on one end, coaches on the other end, and the middle is their game personnel, clock operators, PA announcers, spotters, all that. So we have the luxury here tonight. We do have to share with the Case coaches, which is fine, but this booth that we're in right now, Dick, I would say is the standard size of any press box. So to be able to fit us, an announcer team, plus two sets of coaches within one box this size, it's just not possible usually.
Yeah. And again, they have the luxury here of they have two press boxes here. They have the one I call the Taj Mahal, which is two levels across the way from us. But that's on the east side, which means during August and September, they got all that sun over there.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, when you look across the middle on the first floor, that's the game personnel, and both sides to the right and left where it's dark, those are people are able to pay to sit there for the game.
Oh, okay.
And then the coaches sit on top in that top deck.
Okay, got it. But they are dark, so evidently either people have the lights off or no one's paid for those boxes tonight.
Yeah, definitely possibility. We do have a Marquette update at halftime. They're up 28-7. I forgot who they're playing here, Dick. It's on the other side of this bracket.
Marquette is playing DePere.
Correct. Yep, 28-7 there at the break.
Well, both teams are back on the field doing their mandatory stretching, which was put in by the WIAA a few years ago.
Yep, it's a good thing to get the players loose, allows the coaches a little more time at halftime to talk to their players before having to, rush out onto the field. They want to take up as much time to talk to their players. Well, now you get your full 15, 20 if it's homecoming or some sort of specialty week, and then that 3 minutes to warm up on top of it.
Well, I got to tell you that very impressed with the attendance here tonight in this cold weather.
Hey, you get fans over in that end zone standing. They got their little folding chairs. The bleachers below us completely full. Student section in the north end zone there. Just people all around, Dick. And this is a community that really supports their football program and their athletics overall. And Racine Case has a good showing here tonight by their fans as well.
So Case will get the football to start our third quarter. They trail 21-6. After scoring, they had their extra point attempt blocked. So that's where we're at. 21-6 is our score. And if you had to mention one player for the Muckwonago Indians that was very instrumental in their lead in that first half, it would be Red Obicki. Mason Red Obicki was the player for them in that first half. So we're ready to start. Ready to start our second half. And Case will get the ball in this third quarter.
Hey, okay. something that was pretty cool, Dick. Athletic director brought over his chain crew a box of pizza at halftime. So nice little touch that the game staff, game personnel are being taken care of by their athletic director.
It's a nice gesture.
Yeah. Standing out there in the cold, making 40, 50 bucks at most, and getting treated to a nice snack.
All right, so Siganik to kick off for the Muckwonago Indians as we start our third quarter. There's the kick, and it'll be fielded by Farr. Comes up to the 30. And they stop them right there at about the 29-yard line. So that's where the Eagles will go on offense to start our third quarter. Let's see what they talked about, what adjustments they made, Dylan, at halftime. So Geppetto will bring him out. In the pistol. He's got a wide out to the right, two to the left as he hands off to Eccles. Eccles brings it up to about the 38-yard line. It'll bring up second down. Just underway here in the third quarter, 11:30 in our third quarter. Geppetto brings him out. He's got three wideouts to the left and one to the right. Still has time. Oh, he had time and then he got buried.
He fumbled it, Dick.
And he might. And he's still down.
He is looking downfield, and James Kappas, the sophomore defensive lineman, with a huge blow-up in the backfield.
Very huge hit. So it's going to bring up third and 16 now at the 29-yard line. Clock continues to run. 10:35 to go in our third quarter. Geppetto looking to the sideline. Got a long way to go here. Back to pass. Goes Leo. Throws it out here. Complete. To Tolan Johnson. And that'll move the chains. A nice first down. Leo, after being hit, stood in there on third down. Now we go to the no-huddle offense. In the pistol. Throws out here, complete. For another nice gain.
That nice play art there. Looked like it was the Baker on the reception. Meyer has to be careful for blocking early, though.
Yep. This time gives it off to Eccles, trying to come up the middle. For a few, and they push him back. But, again, I'm happy to see they're not abandoning the run, though.
Yeah, I think, they're definitely showcasing their abilities, their, deep ball threats, everything like that here tonight.
All right, Geppetto gets the play from the sideline, 9:30 and counting. He's got three wideouts to the left and one to the right. Throws complete. And that was Meyer on the reception. So we're closing in on 9 to go in our third quarter. Case on the move. Geppetto had 3 to the left. Handoff to Eccles, delayed handoff, and a nice play as he gets it down to about the 18-yard line. Of McGuanago. That pass was incomplete by Geppetto in that no huddle. Clock stops the clock now with 8:37 to go.
They intended for DeBaker there, just unable to get it to him. Kind of skidded into his possession.
And we want to give a shout-out while we have a chance to Paul Fitzpatrick of Exceed Medical, who's been listening in. Geppetto back to pass, throws towards the end zone. out of bounds there. That was far the intended receiver. So it's going to bring up third and 10 at the 21-yard line.
He almost pushed off to kind of extend to get up and try and catch that one, but it still went over his head.
Yeah.
Leo just put a little too much on that one.
Okay, it stopped the clock with 8:31 to go. Chipetta back to pass. Had time. Now it gets flushed out of there. Here comes the rush, and he throws it out of bounds. So it brings up fourth down. I don't know if they'll bring in Gonzalez to try a field goal or not here.
Yeah, it depends. I can't really tell which way the wind's blowing, but I think it might be a little bit out of his range.
Looks like they're going to go fourth and 10 at the 21-yard line of McGuanago.
I know it's early in this one, Dick, but this is sort of a game-defining play here on 4th and 10. You get the first down, the momentum carries. If not, you get a big stop, and it deflates some of that momentum you have going.
All right, Geppetto in the pistol. Back to pass, throws. Incomplete, intended for Farr. They wanted a penalty.
It's close. I mean, from our angle, you could say, oh, yeah, sure, it's early contact, but where the officials are, you know, they get a much better angle of it down there from where we are.
So it stopped the clock with 8:19 to go in our third quarter. So Mason Kelly will bring him out again. He'll start first and 10 at his own 21-yard line. In the pistol. He's got wideouts to his right. High snap. Keeps it. And brings it up to about the 28-yard line.
Nice run there by Mason.
And again, they'll keep the clock going. So to bring up second and 4 at the 27, they marked it. 7:50 and counting in our third quarter. Okay, he's got wideouts to the right. High snap again. Hands it off. Radobicki. So spots it at the 29-yard line.
Big third down here for this Case defense.
Yep.
A great chance for them to make a stand and keep that momentum going despite that fourth down.
Yep. Clock continues to run down to 7:10 to go in our third quarter. Kelly once again in the pistol. He's got wideouts to the right. High snap again. Delayed it, and he got it after they had him. They had him behind the line of scrimmage, and he got away and gets the first down.
Yeah, able to kind of juke around back there and make a couple defenders miss and turns it into a decent game.
That's what they did. So he'll bring him out now, first and 10 at the 34-yard line. Clock starts up again, 6:35 to go in our third quarter. He's got wideouts to his right. Hands it off to Radobicki.
Big yardage there, Dick.
Another big one.
Just going and going and going. Able to run through these kind of arm tackles.
So Mason again on a nice play for McGuanago. just shredding that run defense of the KC Eagles. Kelly brings him out in the pistol. Got a wide out to the right and one to the left. Throws. Incomplete. Incomplete intended for Martin.
And I think as he was running downfield, that defender kind of held him and stopped him from going, and we're going to get a penalty here against Case.
Oh, they did throw. They did throw the flag. Yep. Yeah, he held up Martin. So stops the clock with 5:46 to go in our third quarter.
Dick, we have a couple, you know, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Waukesha Times, they're all out here. A couple different angles of that end zone play there that we just seen. The no contact, I would say.
Okay.
Hey, no, slant's wrong. Or slant this way.
All right, wide outs to the left for Mason Kelly. First and 10 at the 44 of Case. Radobicki on the run. Gets it inside the 32-yard line of Case.
He's impressive, Dick. He's been fun to watch so far here tonight. It's going against Case, but it's just a very impressive runner.
Yep. Mason Radobicki. And again, the defense just out there too long. Fatigued, gassed. Clock starts up again. Close it in on 5 to go. Kelly in the pistol. Wide out to the right and one to the left. Hands it off again to Radobicki. Boy, that offensive line, they've done their job tonight.
Yeah, they got some big boys up there, a good technique too, just a strong offensive line.
Clock continues to run with 4:40 to go.
And we've seen a very impressive Case defensive line all year. And they're making them look like nothing this week.
All right, brings up 2nd and 6 now at the 29-yard line of Case. Kelly once again in the gun. Got a wide out to the right and one to the left. Now has Martin go in motion on the fake. And Radobicki trying to get outside for a minimal gain that time. So it brings up 3rd and 5 at the 28-yard line. Of Racine Case.
And a lot of drives, we start to see this McGuanago offense kind of phase out towards the end of it.
3:40 and counting in our third quarter. Pistol formation by the Indians. Kelly pitches it to Radobicki. Cuts it back inside. Oh, Lynch. Lynch spotting Radobicki, giving him a break. Colton Lynch on the carry.
And he's coming back in now, Dick, for that crucial fourth down.
Yep.
It's number one.
Just a very fun game so far here tonight, Dick. Two very strong teams.
Clock continues to run with 2:50 to go. 4th and 2 for McGuanago. Got everybody in tight. Throws. Incomplete. So the Eagles will take over. Good fake there by Mason Kelly. Sold it well before he got rid of it.
Yeah, I was trying to hit Braden Voggs there in the flat. He hit his target. They just came up with a huge play on defense, popped the ball out for an incompletion.
All right, so Geppetto bring them out. They trail 21-6 with 2:34 to go in our third quarter. Geppetto in the pistol. He's got three to the right, one to the left. Hands it off to Eccles. Coming down the sideline, 40, 50. Gets pushed out of bounds. And they're going to bring it. Looks like they'll bring it back.
Yeah, I think he stepped out at the 35 there, okay. Dick. A lot of bodies, hard to see down there.
Yeah. It sure looked like he went a lot further. All right, no huddle offense by the Eagles. Hands it off to Eccles again. This time he cuts it back inside. Gets it almost to the 40. So it'll be first down. And again, no huddle for the Eagles. Got three to the left, one to the right. Throws out here in the flat, complete to DeBaker. And DeBaker steps out of bounds at about the 45-yard line.
And I'm surprised Maguango is starting to not key on that. When they go no huddle there, they throw that little bubble out there. We seen them last week go bubble, 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 and then they hit that post route. We'll see if they try to do that here.
Well, DeBaker stepped out of bounds with 2:05 to go in our third quarter. Second and three at the 45-yard line. In the pistol. Handed it off.
Eccles again there, Dick.
Yep. So basically away from the half. And again now they get into the passing situation with 1:45 and counting to go in our third quarter. Third and three. Got a score on this one. Clock continues to run.
They got to snap this one. This is a very long 25 seconds.
Geppetto throws out here complete to Johnson. And he got that first down. That's the big thing, Tolan Johnson on that reception.
Yeah, he got lucky there. The Maguanago defender came crashing in. He made a nice move to the outside. And
right, that stopped the clock with 1:09. Geppetto in the pistol, back to pass. Throws out here in the flat, complete to DeBaker again, down the sideline. Gets to about the 28-yard line of Maguanago.
This one's going to come back, Dick. Lincoln Meyer was out there on the edge blocking before that pass came in, and that's going to be pass interference against them.
And they should call that then.
And he's gotten lucky a couple times. He was very close, and that time he ended up well downfield blocking ahead of that one.
He should know that by now.
It's a play that they've run all the time.
All right, Geppetto gets the play from the sideline with 1 minute and counting now. First and 25 at the 40 of Case. Hands it off to Eccles.
A little delayed action there, Dick.
Delayed call. Probably won't have to run another play here. That'll end our third quarter.
I think they do have to run one more. It was spotted before 40 seconds.
Oh, all right. So second and 24 at the 41 of Case. Chipetta back to pass. Throws it out here. Incomplete. Intended for Johnson. Had it for a second and then dropped it. So it stops the clock with 10 seconds to go.
Big third down play here, Dick.
Yep, third and 24, a long one.
This can really change the momentum of Racine Case if they're able to convert this. Their backs are tight against the wall right now, Dick.
Yep. So Chipetta at 2-1 to the right, 2 to the left. Now throws it out here. Complete. Complete too far. So it brings up fourth down. Manageable. And that's the end of our third quarter, though, with our score. Maguanago 21, Racine Case 6. We'll step away for 30 seconds. You're listening to high school playoff football on DG Sports.
Roll into the Lanes on 20, the perfect place to bowl, dine, and unwind. Fall bowling leagues are filling up fast. Plus, take advantage of our daily open bowling specials. After you strike up the fun, head on over to Angry Brothers Pub for unbeatable food and drink deals during Brewers, college, and NFL games. Start your weekend right with the Friday Fish Fry. It's the talk of the town. Planning a holiday or birthday party? The Lanes on 20 has the perfect setup for you and your crew. Yes! The fun rolls all year long at the Lanes on 20, just west of Green Bay Road.
Quarter, 21-6, big fourth down coming up for the Eagles, fourth and two at the 37-yard line of Maguanago.
Quick update, Dick. At the end of the third quarter, Horlick is up 21-14 over Badger.
And that is a surprise. With one quarter to go, let's see what the Rebels can do. And our Eagles here. Chipetta back to pass, throws. Looks like it was complete or incomplete.
Michael Farr with the catch there, Dick.
Should be a first down. He only needed 2 yards. Chipetta barking at his team to get up to the line. Got wideouts to the right and to the left. Chipetta's got time. Throws, airs it out here. Incomplete, but there's a flag. A flag down. We could have a push on the Indians.
And it's going to be early contact there. He kind of bumped him off the route. I don't know if you've seen that. They're running down the sideline,
yeah.
And he used his hips to move him, dislodge him off the route. Nathan Rangette, the referee on this sideline, he's a back judge on his college crew, and I've seen him make that call
okay.
Plenty of times working alongside him, and that's a good call there on that play.
Hey, think about going to stretch again. We hit it last
All right, time. It'll be a first down for the Eagles, first and 10. At the 17-yard line of Maguanago. And Chipetta brings him out. In the pistol. Hands it off to Echols, trying to get to the edge. Still on his feet. Keeps churning and running. Keeps those legs going.
Good ball carrier.
So to bring up second and 5 at the 12-yard line of Maguanago. All All right, Chipeta brings him out in the gun. Got wide outs of both the right and the left. Still has it. Now they flush him out of there. Throws. Incomplete. Over the head of Meyer. Meyer, the intended receiver. So it brings up third down.
Hey, he had him open, just kind of floated it too high above his head.
Third and four at the 11. 11:27 to go. Chipeta getting the play from the sideline. In the pistol. Back to pass again. Has time. Throws.
He caught it.
Wow.
Looks like he's got a catch there.
Fourth and one.
Wow. Crazy catch there, Dick.
A catch for DeBaker. On the ground. So fourth and one at the 8.
There's a huge chance for Case here.
Yep.
Get some points. We'll probably see him go for 2.
Yeah. Well, let's get the touchdown first. Goes under center. Geppetta's going to try to push his way towards that first down. Dylan Dooley saying that he got it. Now we got a flag.
I think one of the Maguanago players ripped it out at the end of the play. Case person shoved him onto the ground. There was many whistles. We're probably going to see this go against Case. The first down would stand, and it would be 15 yards backwards after
that. Okay, let's see if you're right, Dylan. It's good to have a football official as your color guy that knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, there's plenty of whistles there, so.
First down. Yeah,
so the first down's
okay,
good on the
first
run.
First down stands, but yep. Now they'll
march back 15 yards for the dead ball personal foul.
Okay. So still life. The Eagles still have life.
It'll be first and goal, but from the 21-yard line now.
Yeah. All right, Chipeta brings him out. Wide out to the right and to the left. In the pistol. Back to throw. Throws to the end zone. And it's a touchdown for Tolan Johnson. Touchdown, Case. Yards from Geppetta to Johnson to make it 21-12.
And that penalty probably even helped them out there a little bit. Dick did, they like to go to the air a lot, and they were able to get a little bit of breathing room, you could say, between the end zone and where their scrimmage line would have been. I'm sure they would have ran it had they been first and goal close, but the air and the space helped them on that play.
So the Case Eagles going for 2 here. Try to make it 21-14.
Now if
empty
they don't
backfield now for Geppetta. In the shotgun. Throws it out here. And he's got it as Farr. Michael Farr with the 2-point conversion to make it 21-14 with 10:20 to go in regulation. Maguanago with only a 7-point lead.
Dick, we have an update for the winner of this one, Verona and Arrowhead. Arrowhead just took the lead with 8 minutes to go. It's 16-15 over Verona.
Wow. And again, as we mentioned, we're a long ways away yet from that. But if Arrowhead, if they win and Case can come back, Case would host that game next week at that level three game at Hammes Field. But again, they still got some work to do.
Dick, speaking of hosting, next week Franklin will not be hosting a playoff game as they're down 42-7.
Wow.
Against Muskego.
All right, Gonzalez to kick off. Let's see if this fired up the Eagles now. Pooch kick there, fielded. Fielded by Savasta. Savasta at the 30. Still on his feet. Gets it almost to the 40-yard line.
Wow. He had three or four Case defenders on his back just running down the field.
Well, they're going to have to come out and play some D now.
Yep, so we're one until we see what they got.
If you're the Indians, they want to answer now. Nice long drive. All right, Mason Kelly brings him out. In the gun. Red Obicki right behind him. Hands it off to Red Obicki right up the middle. And the Eagles had something to say about that.
Yeah, that defensive line, that tough defensive line we've seen of them coming up, making a play, stuffing that run.
So to bring up second and seven, he gained three, though, at the 42-yard line of McGonigal. Kelly in the pistol. Keeps it. Fumbled! Let's see who came up with it. They say Case. Case on the recovery.
Wow.
So what a change of events here at McGonigal High School. With 9:23 to go, the Case Eagles just forced a fumble and go back on offense and try to tie this game up. All right, you got cool, calm Leo Gepetta bringing him out.
All Case momentum-wise.
Yep. Steel trail, though, by seven. Gepetta brings him out. He's got three wideouts to his right and one to his left. Here comes the rush, and they bury him back at the 48-yard line of Case. So very poor pass protection there.
Yeah, can't let the moment get too big. Still got to play the game and keep your quarterback protected there.
Had all the momentum with that fumble recovery. And now it's going to be second and 19. Geppetto will get the play. 8:40 and counting. In regulation. In the pistol. Back to pass. Goes Gepetta. Throws it. Dumps it out here in the flat. Complete. Two echoes, I believe. And he makes it manageable.
I turned it from a third and 19 potentially to third and nine there.
Yep, third and nine. You can, two plays to get that first down.
Absolutely.
And one thing we haven't seen tonight is Leo use those legs. I don't know if he hasn't had the opportunity or what.
Hey, we've seen him been very reluctant. One time, luckily, it went for a touchdown, though.
All right, in the pistol once again is Geppetta. Now has a man go in motion is Johnson, and procedure coming up. That'll hurt him. Well, now it's third and 14.
Dick, update on one of our other teams, Waterford. They trail 28-0 going into the fourth quarter.
Well, I think their season will be coming to an end.
Horlick and Badger are knotted up at 21 with 10 minutes to go in that one.
Okay.
Great game over there.
Yeah.
Great game right here.
Yes. All right, Geppetta in the pistol. Back to pass. Now he throws.
Yes! Man, he did it.
Let's see if they say he caught it.
Let's go.
The catch. The catch is made by Lincoln Meyer. Yes. For a first down. That no huddle now. Geppetta in the pistol. Throws. Incomplete. Looks like it was intended, trying to get it to DeBaker.
Yeah, again, Lincoln Meyer got to be very careful over there blocking downfield as that pass is coming in. He has to be very smart to not catch another 15-yard penalty there.
All right, that stops the clock with 7:10 to go. 21-14 here. McGuanago with the lead. Case on the move. Geppetta in the pistol. He's got one to the right, one to the left. Back to pass goes Geppetta. Waiting. Now it's going to run. Throws. Incomplete. Why?
He was very close to being past the line of scrimmage and elected to throw it there, surprisingly. He had plenty of green grass in front of him.
The green grass was growing for Leo. So third and 10.
I'm surprised. Brings up a huge third down here now, though, Dick.
It's third and 10 at the 19 with 7:04 to go. In our fourth quarter, Geppetta back to pass, throws it out here in the flat, complete. And it's going to be fourth down. Yeah, Echols again. Caught that ball in the flat. Made it very manageable for fourth down here.
Yeah, a little halfback swing out there and able to get downfield. We've seen him in this situation throw a touchdown pass last time, Dick.
Right.
We'll see what they go to here. 6 minutes.
So 6:20 and counting in regulation. Fourth and four at the 13-yard line of McGuanago. See what Case does here. In the pistol. Geppetta back to pass. Here comes the rush. And he's not going to get it. McGuanago stops the drive.
It's a surprising play there, Dick. He had plenty of green grass in front of him. Just kept looking downfield.
Yeah.
And that McGuanago secondary just able to keep everything tight. And the defensive line finally getting to Leo Geppetta out there.
So now if you're the McGuanago Indians, you just want to get some first downs and chew up that clock.
And that's what they tried to do last drive, but they ended up fumbling.
Yep.
So this is where ball security is extremely important.
All right, Mason Kelly will bring him out in the pistol. He's got two to the left. Hands it off to Radobicki. And again, that'll That'll keep the clock going. 5:45.
Gator's coming off. So now they're going to bring a sniffer in.
They'll take their time.
Dick, it sounds like Badger has all the momentum. They're now up 28-21, 6 minutes and counting.
Okay.
In that one.
Yeah, at back, we definitely got to